Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to The Point.
I'm Faith, and I am so ready for today. I'm actually really tired, if I'm going to be honest. I'm super tired. It's been a really, really long week. I think I say that every week. I think I'm slowly losing it. But it's okay, because as long as I got God, I ain't losing nothing. Welcome. If you are wondering where we're at, we are at my job, because I had work to do this morning at the church I worked at, so I just kind of ran off into a side room on my break, kind of like film this, so it's gonna be really fun, and we're on a time crunch, so not really, but sort of, more yes than no. Also, can we talk about the Super Bowl real quick? Because listen, I don't watch the Super Bowl, period. I ain't your football gal, okay? I ain't a big football gal. I ain't a big Super Bowl halftime kind of gal. I just don't do it. Some people go for the parties. Some people go for the fellowship. I stay at home. You know what I did on Super Bowl night? I went to a Bible study, and then I went and wrote an essay. That's what I did on Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm just not a Super Bowl gal, and that's okay. But then the Kendrick Lamar Super Bowl halftime performance started showing up on my TikTok. I don't listen to Kendrick's music. I don't really like him as a singer. I don't know. I just don't like that kind of style of music. But listen, I'll give credit where credit is due. He ate. He devoured. He showed no mercy. Listen, I'm not a petty person, I'm not a hateful person, but he ate. I'll give credit where credit is due. He ate that up. Okay. Also, I painted my nails black. They're really chipped. Look at this one. They're really chipped. It's really bad. And how do you keep your nails from chipping, I guess, is the question. Is there just not a way not to do it? Because I painted these last night. And maybe it's because I type all day, but look at this. You can't see it, but, like, the whole upper part of my nail is chipped off, bro. It is so bad. And also, I'm scared someone's going to be like, ooh, so you're one of those girls. Does anybody get what I'm saying? Maybe I'm just going crazy. It's okay. It's all fine. I'm really excited, though, because this weekend I'm going to... I've probably been talking too much about my life, but it's fine. This weekend, I'm going to go visit my future college. I'm so excited. We're going to visit, and I'm really excited. I'm pumped up. I'm so excited to move out of my town. I love it here, but I can't be living here much longer without losing my marbles. So today, though, after that, we're talking about denominations in the church. Oh! This is why I should probably just hold the camera for the rest of my life. I need to buy a, like, holder for my iPhone, but I'm lazy. So we're not gonna do that. Instead, we're gonna use rig setups like that to hold my iPhone because I'm lazy. So guess what? Now you're there. Congrats. Anyway, so we're talking about denominations in the church, and you can see my little papers here, which is kind of unprofessional, I feel like, but it's fine. What about me screams professionalism? Let's just be honest here. There's literally a white box fan in the background. Nothing about me speaks professionalism at all, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. I'm a kind of go with the flow kind of gal. I'm not really a professional kind of gal, I guess. I mean, I'm professional in some situations, but I don't know how to explain what I'm saying. Let's just move on. So, denominations in the church. People get really confused when you bring up the concept or the topic of denominations, which is honestly such a fair point because it took me so long. I'm a PK. Do you know how long it took for me to understand denominations as a PK. And if you don't know what PK means, it means pastor's kid. But it took me so long to understand what denominations were and all that jazz, okay? But now I understand it a little bit. And I have a couple problems with denominations. Not denominations as a whole, but two problems that can come out of denominations. Denominations are not the issue here, okay? I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, denominations are great. They're a great tool for people that are trying to find churches. Because if you're really into a structured church, then you're going to go to a specific church. If you're really into, like, hymnals and, like, a nice little church service, you're going to go to a Baptist church. If you're really into, like, more hype music, you know what I mean? It's a great, you're going to go to a Pentecostal church or a non-denominational church that has a little bit more of a modern flow to it. That's what's going to happen. That's the route you're going to take. So there's not a problem with denominations at all. I don't have a problem with denominations. Denominations are also nice because, so basically what a denomination is, I'm going to start there, even though I went down that rabbit hole of how I don't have a problem with denominations. What denominations are is they are essentially the breakdown of theology in your opinion, I would say. So the best way I can explain it is we all believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. We all believe that. We all know Jesus Christ is God. But it comes down to the smaller things of what you believe. Like, do you believe the Holy Spirit is active today? Do you believe that women can be preachers and pastors? The whole shebang. It's down to what you believe. It's pretty much, we all know colors are real, but what's your favorite color? That's pretty much all denominations are. The problem I have with denominations is not what's your favorite color. It's when denominations come in and say, the color is not even real. That's my problem. Let me dive into that a little bit more. My problem with, for example, there's a denomination that has came out publicly and said that they don't believe in the virgin birth. That's when I have a problem, when you can't back up your theology. Because there's nothing in the Bible that presents the idea that the virgin birth did not happen. It was the virgin birth. That was the whole big thing about it, was that Mary gave birth to a spiritual being through being a virgin. That's the whole thing. That's the whole big point. The whole miracle was that she was a virgin and she gave birth. That's the whole thing. You know? And so that's where my problem comes in. When it's not my favorite color is this, my favorite color is that. It's when you say the color's not even real. There was someone walking down the hallway. That's so weird. People scare me. I feel like I was being too loud, and now they're gonna, like, come and chop my head off. You're supposed to be working. I am working. I heard someone walking down the hallway. It was so scary. Help, help, help. Okay. This is why I should only film at my house. Because if I film anywhere else, it's, like, awkward and scary. I usually only film at my house when no one else is home. Just me. Because if I film anywhere else, I'm, like, scared someone's gonna overhear me. And then when I get really into it, that's when the problem hits. When I get way too into it, I get loud. Oh, that's so scary. Okay. Anyway. So there's not a problem with denominations. They're great. I love denominations. They're a great way of figuring out where you want to go, who you want to go with, you know, whole shebacle. I can't reach my papers. Okay. You know, personally though, speaking on a personal level, I'm Pentecostal. What does that mean, Faith? That means I believe that Jesus Christ died, rose from the grave, is God, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, and that its abilities are still active today. That's what being a Pentecostal means. That's what I believe. It means I also believe that the old law, because Jesus Christ died for my sins, the old law is dead, and there's a new law, and I can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus, pretty much. That's pretty much what being a Pentecostal believer is. I believe death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus H. Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit and that gifts of it are still active today. And I believe that the old law is dead and I can live in the new law where Jesus God forgives me for my sins. That's what I believe. So my first problem, as you heard with denominations, or when we read this passage, they use the word divisions in the church, is when you miss, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. I should just film this at home. I'm so weird. Okay. Is when divisions and denominations take, I guess what I'm trying to say is they take things out of context and they misread the Bible and they use the wrong, they don't have theology to back it up. Like, I haven't looked into it, but I would love to see the theology that the virgin birth was not real. Like, please show it to me. I'm begging. I'm on my hands and knees begging for you to show it to me. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. If the stuff, like, for instance, I believe that the Holy Spirit gifts are active in today. The Baptist, per se, don't believe that. You can go to heaven without operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and I can go to heaven acting in the gifts of the Spirit. But the problem is when you go against the basic understanding of being a Christian. We're all Christians. We just got a little different flair in our stomach. So that's problem number one. When you go against the main grain, I guess, you know. Problem number two is when you use the division that you're in to make fun of other Christians. That's my second problem. Now, not everyone does this, but it's when you say, I'm a Baptist, and the only way to get to heaven is through baptism. Baptist. Or, I'm a Pentecostal, and the only way to get through heaven is if you're a Pentecostal. That's the only truth. Or, I'm a Methodist, and that's the only truth. Like, that's... Stop. Just stop. That's not... No. No, 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 no. No. Wrong. That's where my problem comes into play. Or you say, oh, I'm only going to be friends with Baptist people. Or I'm only going to be friends with Pentecostal people. Like, girl, you know, I live in the Baptist, like, I don't even know what you want to call this place. But it's Baptist Central, okay? There's about 35,000 Baptist churches where I live, okay? And I am friends with tons of Baptist people. I'm friends with Methodist people. I'm friends with, I don't know, the whole basket, okay? And I'm able to be friends with them and be in a Christian relationship with these people as friends and it not bother me. Because we're all going to heaven. I'm going to see them all in heaven. We all believe in Jesus, you know. We all believe that he died, rose from the dead. But even though our difference, how we see things are slightly different, doesn't mean we're different in the way where I can't hang out with you. Now, when I do think that divisions or denominations become a problem in relationships, is romantic relationships. You need to see eye to eye on most things with the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Now, if you're a Baptist person dating a Pentecostal person, what, and you're making it work, great on you, great on you. I don't know how you're doing it, but great on you, honestly. Me, personally, I couldn't make that work. That's when, me personally, that problem comes in, is I need to agree on you with most things. We need to be equally yoked in this relationship. So if you and me are arguing based off different things, this is not going to work out, buckaroo. This ain't going to work, you know? If you aren't acting in the gifts of the Spirit and you want to be in a relationship with me, it ain't going to work personally between the two of us. But I'm also going into ministry actively. So if I'm going into ministry, I need someone who agrees with me and my ministry. So I need someone that's on the same playing field as me. But if I just have a friend and she's a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, we can be friends. There's no problem with that. Actually, I enjoy talking about theology with my Baptist friends because I like to see others people's opinion, the flip side of the coin. I like to get all in it. I'm a theology nerd, okay? I like to get all in that junk. So, in my opinion, it doesn't really pose a problem until you get into a relationship. Because then it's hard finding a church that you both want to go to. It's hard raising your children under the same principle. It just becomes a sloppy mess. It's just a sloppy Joe, okay? Because when you get down to the pinnacles of how you're living your life on the small details, it differs from denomination. Did you hear that? Dude, why is there so much happening right now? Good grief. When it comes down to the pinnacle of it, of how you're living your life and the differences between the two, it's important that you and your spouse agree on those little details of how you're raising your family, what church you're going to. And it's hard to agree on that when you got two different denominations going on. Because what I've seen most of the time, I guess around where I live, is most, again, I can only think of Pentecostal and Baptist right now, because I'm a Pentecostal and there's like 50 million Baptist churches around where I live. And there's Lutheran, there's Methodist. What are the other lists? I don't know, there's a lot. But what, Presbyterian? Yes. I don't know. There's a list. There's a whole list. But you need to agree on those little things in order to make your relationship work. Now, if you're sitting on the other side of the screen and you're going, faith, 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 faith. What denomination am I a part of? Girl, I cannot answer that for you. Do you know how deep that goes? Do you know how deep that goes? You have to do some research, okay? You need to get down on your computer, get your fingers out, type, 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 type. Look it up, research, figure out what you agree with. Read the Bible for yourself, you know, step one. Step one, become a Christ follower. Step two, read the Bible for yourself. And when I say read the Bible for yourself, I mean read it with contemporaries. Put context into what you're reading. Because if you don't put context in what you're reading, it ain't going to make any sense. You got to have context. If you're like, I can't buy a contemporary, blueletterbible.org. blueletterbible.org. Okay, that'll be your best friend. Okay, it's got all of it. It's got all the juice. Okay, it's got all the information. blueletterbible.org. Figure out what you believe in. Okay, and then do your research. Okay, you can go to different churches. You can go to a Baptist church, you can go to a Pentecostal church, or if you don't feel like doing all that, just Google it. They got their mission statements on their main pages. Just Google, like, the Lutheran church, the Methodist church. They got all their information out there. Just read it, figure it out. That's what you gotta do. So, another problem, I didn't even write this down, but I just thought of it. Oh my gosh. My next problem with denominations is when they use it to excuse doing terrible things. That's so bad. I'm a true crime girly. And so I definitely watch a lot of, like, cult videos. Oh my gosh, I'm addicted. So I definitely watch a lot of, like, true crime murder and, like, cults and stuff like that. And I hate watching cults and seeing that their origins came from, like, Christianity. Like, oh, stop, please. We're not that bad. I promise we're not that bad. But I hate when people use it to excuse things like abuse and, raping and, murder, the whole brainwashing, the whole shebang, you know. I hate when people use Christianity as an excuse for those things, when it's not. And I see a lot, when I'm watching these videos, I see a lot of cult members that come out of cults. I'm not even, you know what, that's not even a division, okay, in the church, because it's pure Satan, okay? Not the part about, like, Jesus dying on the cross. That's Jesus Christ. But when you get into a church and they're, or a cult, that's just pure mess. Not even gonna say, but when they use Christianity as an excuse for it, that's when it makes me mad. When you use Christianity as an excuse to do terrible things, we have a problem. We have a problem. Don't use Christianity as an excuse to do terrible things. Okay? From my heart to yours. Don't do that. Also, don't use Christianity as an excuse to just sin all the time, because God's just going to forgive you. That's not how it works. I'm not doing a lesson on that one, because that's not how it works. Just hit my microphone. Audio listeners hate me. My computer's going to die. Okay, we're going to finish soon, though. So, thank you for listening. So, next on my list here, we're going to talk about the reason I decided this is what I want to talk on this week. Are you excited? You should be. So, my sister is in high school still. So, she had a teacher, and this teacher was up at the front of the class. Okay, this is a pet peeve of mine. And the teacher was talking down Pentecostalism. If you didn't know, me and my sister are Pentecostals. And he started talking about, I don't even remember what he said, but it made me so mad hearing it. He was talking about how we were crazy people, how we, like, believe in snakes, and they just went off a whole rant about how Pentecostalism isn't true, and it's just crazy people. Don't do that. That's wrong. You're not supposed to go against your brother and sister in Christ like that. Even though you don't like the way we do things, okay? You doesn't mean you have to make fun of us. Listen, I don't like listening to hymns on a Sunday morning, but I ain't making fun of you about it. Let alone, like, doing it to your face. Like, you don't see me doing that, do you? Do you realize how rude that is? Anyway, to say the least, go Emily, because she literally, like, stood up and was like, yo, slow it down, buttercup. Put him in his place. And he hasn't said anything yet since, so I think he got the hint. But don't be saying that. Like, I know we don't see eye to eye on everything, but you don't gotta be rude about it. And I wish I could have shown this man this verse I'm about to talk about, because he needs it. It's clear that he has never read 1 Corinthians in his entire life of living. Or he wouldn't have not said that. But yeah, those are people. That's my problem with denominations. Everything else about it is great. I love the ability for people to choose to follow what they believe, okay? I love the ability to pick a service that is suitable for your needs and your wants. Which, by the way, we are so blessed to be in an area where you get to pick where you want to go to church. Think of how blessed you are about that, okay? I love the idea of, like, you being able to be in an area where you feel comfortable. I love all of it. Except when you become rude about it. I don't like when they use it as Christianity as an excuse to do terrible things. I don't like when you make fun of other denominations because they're not your denomination. And I don't like when you go against the core values of Christianity and go off on your own train tracks like a crazy person. We don't play that game here. Those are the three things I don't like. Three. That's it. So, to say the least, I'm very upset. But, to my sister's teacher, you're probably not watching this, but to anybody who's like my sister's teacher and is upset, 1 Corinthians 10 through 17. Got my handy damn old Bible here. Okay, this is actually, the name of the chapter in this is actually called Divisions in the Church. So, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters. This is Paul, by the way. This is a letter from Paul, okay? I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Which, this is talking about a division inside a church. So, like, he's talking about no divisions inside the church, he's talking about being inside of a church, and then people arguing inside said church, causing a division inside the church. But we're going to continue. Okay? And get to the part that I think refers to denominations or can refer to denominations in the context. Let me continue. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me that your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apostles, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? God, that I did not baptize of you of any, except in Crispus or Gaius, which are some names, but for now the whole household of Stephanias, but I do not remember baptize anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with a clever speech, for I fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. Now, this specific passage is talking about when there is a division inside of a singular church. But I think what's really important in here to note that I feel like can play into denominations is when he said, was I, Paul, crucified for you? To give you some context on this, basically, this church was saying, oh, I follow Apollos. Oh, I follow Paul, which were all like people really deep into Jesus, but we're not going to go into all of them. But they were saying they followed these specific followers of Jesus, and that's who they followed. And Paul is writing to them saying, no, you do not follow me, you follow Christ. I am a teacher of Christ. You don't follow me, you follow Christ. Was I crucified for you? Was I, Paul, crucified with you? Did you get baptized in the name of Paul? No, you got baptized in the name of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for you. So, like, Faith, what does that make no sense? It's like denominations. Well, take out the word Paul, okay? Was I Lutheran on the cross for you? Were you baptized in the name of the Lutheran? Was I Pentecostal on the cross for you? Were you baptized in the name of Pentecostalism? No. When you get down to the meat of it, the meaty greedy of it, all of us were baptized in the name of Jesus or God, okay? Baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were all baptized in that name. Jesus died on the cross for all of us, okay, at the end of the day. I don't remember Pentecostalism sitting on a cross for me. I remember Jesus sitting on a cross for me. And so what's Paul saying is that stop fighting with each other. Stop being rude to each other. Stop hurting each other's feelings because you are not in the same area of understanding. Don't do that. Pretty much what he's saying. And also, stop identifying, putting more of your identification in Christ into your denomination than into Jesus. Stop. I'm going to say that one more time because that's so good. That's so good. I'm going to say it one more time. Stop putting your identification into more of your denomination than into Christ. Stop putting your identification into your denomination and not into Christ. You are identifying more with your denomination. You are identifying more with the people with baptism or Lutheran than you are identifying with Christ. That's what he's saying here. Stop. Just stop. So, if I highly suggest going and reading 1 Corinthians. Juicy. Chef's kiss. Every book in the Bible is just chef's kiss. But this one, I say that about every book, but this one's good. I just, like, hit my microphone again. I'm really good at that. But the whole point of today is stop identifying with your denomination. You are a Christ follower. You know? So. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed. I feel like, okay, I'm really bad at outros. We're working on it. We're working on it. So, you know, I would challenge you to, you know, maybe if you This is probably not a video for everybody. Maybe it's a good video explaining to people what denominations are. Maybe it's a good video telling people, like, don't judge people based off their denomination if they're Catholic. That's another one, Catholic, okay? No matter who you are, you know, we're all, at the end of the day, we're all raising our hands to worship our God and Father, Jesus and God. Trinity is so confusing, bro. Talking about the same person, but two different people. But at the end of the day, we're all raising our hands to worship the same person. At the end of the day, we all got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, we all are looking at the same guy on the cross. So the little differences shouldn't matter to the point that you're bullying other people. And the little differences shouldn't matter to the point that one denomination is better than the other, or only one denomination is getting to heaven. And the little differences should only be little differences. There should be no big differences between churches, okay? Besides, like, maybe the church setup or something like that, you know? But there should be no big differences. It should just be little differences. And also, just consider how lucky you are that you even have the opportunity to choose what denomination you are, to choose what church you are going to. Like, what a blessing it is to have so many churches to pick from, or so many denominations to pick from, when some people don't even have one option. So, let's pray it out. Dear God, I just pray that the person on the other side of the screen feels lucky and encouraged to be able to have all these options of denominations and churches to go to. And I pray that you just heal the heart of the people that feel like one denomination is better than the other, or that they're better than another person based off what they believe. And you heal their hearts and help them understand that it doesn't matter what denomination you're a part of. What matters is whose kingdom you belong to. And there's only one kingdom at the end, and it's your kingdom. I pray that you just help people that are trying to figure out what denomination they're a part of, you know. I pray that you show them the way, and that you lead them, and that you guide them into where they're supposed to be at, and help them understand the Bible to your knowledge, not their knowledge, to your knowledge. Help them understand and build up your knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. See ya on the flip side. Okay. Courage. So he runs. He runs far, 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 far. He gets on the ship. Ship's going crazy. Water coming up. Big storm. People on the ship are freaking out. At one point in, this is chapter one, they said, then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sins. Don't hold us responsible for his death, oh Lord. You have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. So they didn't even believe in God, Jonah's God, which is God. And they were praying to him. They were like, don't kill us, bro. Don't kill us. Don't kill us for what this guy did. Jonah finally is like, throw me off. They throw him off. This big fish comes out of the water and swallows him whole. Jonah, where'd we go wrong, bro? When you started running, okay? Jonah's inside this fish for 3 days and three nights. And then he finally says, okay, God, I'll go to Nineveh. Pause. Jonah, heart to heart. How in God's creation, on God's green grass earth, were you in that fish for 3 days and three nights before you said, okay, God, you win? Dude, I'd be in there for 5 minutes and I'd be like, God, get me out. 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 How on God's green earth? You're stubborn. Okay, I'll say that about you. You were in there for 3 days and three nights until you finally laid, like, it. Listen, Jonah's prayer, that's slam poetry, okay? If you want to read it, go read it. But that's like our slam poetry. It's got the whole thing out here in the Bible. But how on God's green earth do you not, 5 minutes in, you win, I'm going. No, it takes you 3 days and three nights. No wonder he had to swallow you whole.
Golly. Dude, I'd be in there 5 minutes. Get me out. You win. I go. I'll go. It's better than this. So anyway, finally, after he, Jonah lays down some slam poetry, okay? Lord's like, fine, go. And Jonah goes to Nineveh, and basically, they come to Jesus. It worked out. But I want to talk this story out, because you can see in this story the difference between worldly courage and godly courage. When Jonah was relying on his own courage and, like, worldly courage, he was running, he was scared, he was frightened. But the moment he started relying on God's courage, it was all okay. It was all fine. He goes to Nineveh, everyone comes to Christ, you know. And it's just amazing to see the difference. And this is a story that I think you can really tell the difference. And most people use this story to talk about, like, you need to follow God. You don't need to go away. But I think it's also important to notice the courage. That was the difference in courage, the difference in faith. It's important to note that in this, because you have scared, frightened, worldly courage, and then you have God's courage. When he finally realizes, I don't have to rely on my courage alone, I can rely on God's courage, and it all just works out. So that's why I wanted to talk about Jonah and the whale a little bit, go into it, because you can see distinctively the difference between worldly courage and godly courage in that. I also highly suggest that you go and you read about these people in the Bible that I listed off. David in the lion's den, Ratshack, Meshach, Abednego in the fire, David and Goliath, Esther and the king, or just go watch the VeggieTales episodes, because they're good. They're good. And just, these stories are just mind-boggling. They are so cool. It is so fun to read about them, because, I don't know, it sounds like a fairy tale. It's fun to read, you know? The Bible's fun to read, in my opinion. And it's just mental that these things happened, that they were real, that someone got swallowed by a fish, someone killed a 6'9" man with a stone, someone came out of a fire and even smell like fire. I burned myself on my curling iron, okay? It's just mental what you can do when you have God's courage. So what's God's point on courage? God's point on courage is to give you strength when you need it the most. God gives you strength when you need it the most. And so God's whole point on courage is giving you strength when you need it the most. Because he knows when you need it, and he'll give it to you if you ask for it. If you got faith, that he'll give it to you. Okay, let's pray it out. Dear God, I pray over the people on the other side of the screen that you just give them overwhelming courage. Not worldly courage, but your courage. To allow them to do half of what these people in the Bible did. Because that is so much. Or, you know what? Give them all of it. Because you're the same God that you were yesterday, today, and forever. Give them all this courage that these people had, you know? And just show them incredible love, nurturing. Just show them their way through their life. And just allow them to have courage that keeps them going. Allow them to have faith that keeps them going. Allow them to have trust that keeps them going. Allow them to just have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Okay, peace out.